Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Dolat Industries Limited Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by SMIFS Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Saurabh Ginodia from SMIFS Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Saurabh.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone present on the call today. On behalf of SMIFS Limited, I welcome you all to quarter two and H1 FY23 post-results earnings call of Dolat Industries Limited. We are pleased to host the top management of the company. Today, we have with us on the call Mr. Ankit Gupta, President, Marketing, and Mr. Ajay Patodia, Chief Financial Officer of Dolat Industries Limited. We will start the call with some initial comments on the results from the management, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. I will now hand over the call to the management. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the entire management team at Dolat Industries Limited, I welcome you all to the second quarter FY23 post-results conference call. Currently, the entire Indian hosiery sector is facing the impact of price volatility in cotton and yarn prices. In last quarter and half year ended September 2022, there has been substantial inventory losses due to continuous falling of cotton and yarn prices. However, such losses are temporary in nature and seems to have an end as the cotton and yarn prices have stabilized at sustainable level. In spite of these challenges, company showed the revenue growth of  18% in terms of total revenue for the 6 months ended 2022. Our Q2 FY23 total revenue was down by 12% as compared to same period last year. Our domestic sales showed a growth of 10% in terms of volume, while modern trade and e-commerce sales showed a growth of 67% in terms of volume on 6 months basis as compared to same period last year. For the 6 months ended FY23, company generated positive cash flow from the operating activities to the tune of approximately 40 crores. As promised, the company has opened 8 EBOs till date and plans to open more by the end of the fiscal to touch the target of 25-30 EBOs. Further, our flagship project, Project Lakshya, is going in the right path while increasing the number of distributors, reach and range of the products. Currently, we are sitting with 189 distributors until 30th September 2022, which is increasing on month-on-month basis. We have also planned to start this particular project into two new states, Tamil Nadu and Kerala. In this tough time where the whole Indian industry is experiencing slow demand and price volatility, we saw an increase in volume and value of our product for Lakshya distributors as compared on 6 months basis of last financial year to the tune of approximately 43% and 46%. We are sure of this idea of theory of constraint will help us in the long run to reach our FY25 vision of rupees 2,000 crore revenue. Our efforts towards channel financing arrangement for our dealers continues to see good acceptance. We have received positive response of 225 dealers, out of which 165 distributors have already been boarded under the particular scheme. We expect to onboard several more every quarter, which will continue to improve our receivable days and also help us move towards our overall working capital improvement efforts. The company has recently aired the new TVC for our thermal brand, partnering with Mr. Akshay Kumar and Miss Yami Gautam as the brand ambassador to give an extra mileage to the winter sale. This fiscal, we have earmarked 5.5%-6% for our advertisement expenses. Further, the company has planned to launch the new product range in women's athleisure segment and men's activewear in Force Next brand, and it will be available in the market by late Q4 FY23. We are sure that we'll be able to maintain the revenue guidance of 14% to 15% on the full year basis while maintaining the EBITDA level of 13% to 14%. Thank you all. Now I will hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Rajay Patodia.
Thank you, Ankit ji. Good afternoon to everyone. Our revenue for the quarter 2 FY23 stood at rupees 342 crores against rupees 391 crore, and revenue for the 6 month FY23 stood rupees 706 crores against rupees 596 crore in 6 month FY22. In this quarter, we have a degrowth of around 12%, but in overall 6 month FY23, we have the growth of 18.41%. Our EBITDA for quarter 2 FY23 issued at rupees 30.71 crore against rupees 62.01 crore, registering a degrowth of 50%. In 6 month FY23, our EBITDA is around 70.48 crore against 6 month FY22 EBITDA is around rupees 98.26 crore, registering a degrowth of 28.27%. Our profit before tax for quarter 2 FY23 stood at rupees 22.51 crores against rupees 56.34 crores, and in 6 month FY23 our profit before tax is around 55.04 crore against 87.39 crores, registering a degrowth of 37% for 6 month FY23. Profit after tax for quarter 2 FY23 stood at rupees 17.95 crore against rupees 41.24 crores, and profit after tax for 6 month FY23 stood at rupees 45.82 crores against 64.35 crores, registering a degrowth of 29% for 6 month FY23. Now moving on to brand wise contribution for 6 month FY23, our brand Big Boss contributed around 43%. Our Missy women segment contribute around 9.42%, and our economic segment Dollar Always contribute around 36.27%. Other than this, in premium segment we have a contribution of around from Force NXT 3% and Force Govier 0.5%, and from thermal, we have the contribution of around 6% in this quarter. I now open the forum for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Ankit ji, just to begin with, we are also seen this quarter is not the way we have been precisely thinking of, so definitely there is some amount of inventory loss that has happened during the quarter. So if you could guide broadly that when the quarter was starting, we were the rates of candy was going close to 1 lakh rupee, and then we have seen that constantly declining and now stabilizing around, let's say, 60 to 65,000 rupees a candy. So what sort of loss that has occurred, which perhaps is there to some extent in the numbers? And to my mind and my judgment, that most of your distributors, when they are anticipating that the prices are constantly declining, the inventory in the system is not expected to build up because nobody is interested to buy high cost inventory, and then you know when the constantly the cotton prices are declining. So in that parlance, if you can guide us in both sense, that what sort of inventory losses that has been incurred during the quarter, and what is the quantum of inventory that is there in the system vis-a-vis you know in the normal circumstances when cotton you know trades at more stable levels. So if you could guide on that sense, it will be helpful.
Sir, you are very perfectly analyzed the situation. Currently, in current market situation, the same is applicable our in wholesale industry. With respect to your first question regarding our inventory loss, we have high inventory cost in this quarter because there is our inventory procurement in the first quarter around is. At that time, cotton rate is around 1 lakh per kg. Now it is reduced to around 65,000 to 70,000 per kg. Due to this, our gross margin is down by 3.5 to 4%. It can, in absolute term, it is around 12 to 13 crores rupees. And in this quarter, in last quarter Q2, we have expected a good growth in our winter products, which is shifted in quarter three. If our projection is achieved, then this margin is also adjusted with our high margin product, that is winter thermal products. And we hope that in current quarter we achieve the winter sale as we are projected in current year, as winter are in coming delay in this time, and we hope that from next week there is a winter requirement is increased. With respect to your second question, can you please repeat the same?
The general inventory, because you know since the prices are constantly declining, so what sort of general inventory that we are visualizing vis-a-vis you know the normal inventory which remains in the system?
So obviously in this tough times, like when the prices of raw materials start decreasing, what happened is the channel partners, whether it be the distributor or retailers, they start refilling the goods only on the cut size basis, and the bulk orders are they are very skeptical to place bulk orders like in a normal circumstance. So obviously there has been a depletion in terms of channel inventory levels. But to what extent, it would be very difficult to say because we don't have a visibility to that data. But obviously seeing some kind of a degrowth in Q2 has already proved the point that it is already happening in the market. It's not that the demand from the consumer side is low, because if you see any industry who has a retail, proper retail base, or who is into EBO channels, their sales have not degrown much because they directly serve to the consumers, right? So from the consumer point of view, the demand is, it's not that the demand is low from that side, but obviously, yes, there's a depletion in the inventory levels at, in the channel, whether it be the distributor point or the retailer.
It is also shown in our current quarter working, sir. During this quarter, our in our project Lush, the volume growth is doubled by increased by 43% in last 6 months, and the total amount of revenue is increased to by 100%. In last year, around in full year, we have a total contribution from the project Lush dealer is around 100 crore, but this time we achieve in this 6 months in from April to September only. So in our project plans, we targeted the retailer outlet, and from that point of view, the consumer demand is already there, but the demand is stuck due to order not placed by the dealer itself. So there is demand, our forecast is that there is demand at market is already there, but it is shifted from quarter 2 to quarter 3 due to order not placed by the dealer itself.
Yeah, got it. And if you see the, you know, the cotton prices which are stabilizing, do you still feel that, you know, the cotton prices even might go lower and still, you know, the retailers are postponing to place bulk orders, because we are already in November and last 1 month at least we are seeing that the prices are getting stabilized between the 60,000 to 70,000 band, which looks slightly realistic and hopefully the dealers will start placing bulk orders. So is there any difference that we have witnessed in the month of November vis-a-vis what the last quarter gone by?
What is happening is the third quarter is mainly attributed by the thermal sales, and we are hoping for a good winter, and from past 2 to 3 years we are seeing that the winter is coming late to India. So maybe in a week's time the weather conditions will change across India, mainly in the eastern and the northern part of India. Apart from that, from a few weeks we are seeing that the cotton prices have stabilized, and it seems to be getting at a sustainable level. In near future we don't see the cotton prices coming down, because the forward rate also is somewhere near 65,000 only for candy. So from the retailer point of view, the thought process, the psychology with which they work, they are the channel partners are still skeptical, but there's a positive feedback also in the market. There are some areas which have started taking goods, purchasing goods, and we are very sure that this quarter should be much better than what we saw in Q2.
Yes, got it. And thank you, and I'll come back in the queue for follow-up questions.
Thank you, Bajanji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Agarwal from Basant Maheshwari Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Taking my question. Firstly, I would like to ask you about what has been the industry growth rate for the last 3 months, how has been the experience, and how have we fared compared to the industry?
So, Vaibhav, the thing is that none of the players have come up with the results, and it is very difficult to tell what has been the industry growth rate in the past 3 months. So there are few players who have come up with the results, but based on that and extrapolating on that will not justify the exact industry growth rate that we are looking forward to. But the industry has been in distress in the last quarter, because it is mainly because of the raw material prices movement. And from past 2 years, what we have been seeing that it's too volatile. Initially 1.5 years, we saw the growth in the cotton and the yarn prices. There was a revision in our selling prices also every couple of months. But now the things are getting reversed, and from June onwards, we are seeing that the prices are declining. There was a surge in the month of August or September in terms of cotton prices, but again it has come down to 65,000 to 70,000 per candy. So I think a few more industry players are yet to come up with their results, and maybe later we can actually determine what has been the industry overall.
But what is your sense that has the market share been intact, or any thoughts on that?
So we don't see any reduction in the market share or change in the market share during the quarter. We have not seen that kind of attraction in the market. It's intact.
Right. Coming to your second question is on this project Lakshya. So you said that we had a 43% growth in the terms of volumes. But if I look at the total number of distributors, it has almost doubled from 91 last year to around 189 this year. And if I look at the share of revenue also, it has almost increased, more than doubled. So what is the sense that you are getting? Is the distributors whom we have tied up under this project Lakshya, are we seeing better traction? And can you give some more color on that?
So the major difference is that these distributors who have been enrolled in Lakshya, they don't have much of a baggage of inventory sitting at their warehouse, first. Secondly, there has been a rationalization of inventory at a channel level or at a distributor level. So, due to the price reduction of raw materials, people are getting skeptical because they already have huge inventory at their place in our traditional channel, and they are just ordering the cut size or they are just refilling the inventory. That's it, right? So that's why we are seeing a downfall or a degrowth in terms of volume for this particular quarter. But in Lakshya, what is happening that we are replenishing whatever is getting sold from their end to the retailers. And retailer is also purchasing whatever is getting sold from their point to the consumer. So it is based on complete replenishment model, theory of constraint. And that is why we are seeing such a good traction, because and that is what proves that there is no decline in the consumer demand for the product or for or in this particular sector. So this is a very good point for us. Secondly, it also gives us a sense and a strong conviction that this particular project is the way to go ahead. And in next two and a half years time, this particular project combined with IT infrastructure, it will take us to the next level. And we are very sure about it, because if we take the number of distributors who were there in the last year, second quarter, and who are here in the second quarter, if we compare their sales, so their volume growth have been around 15%.
Right.
But just for the Q2 sales, and only taking those distributors who were present in the second quarter last year and who are continuing with us and are there in the second quarter this year. Also, to point out one more thing, that apart from the DFS, the dealer financing scheme, the overall debtor days in our Lakshya project is very low. So overall, one third of our distributors are in DFS, Lakshya distributors are in DFS, dealer financing scheme, and the overall debtor days for Lakshya distributors, like the 189 distributors that we have, the data days are coming to around 60-65 days. So compared to 100 days what we are having on the overall business, and Lakshya distributors are being at around 60 days. So it clearly shows that we are on a right path, and we'll be able to achieve two most important things. The one is the reach and range in the market, increasing the visibility at the retailer level, and second is the improvement in the working capital cycle, which will help us reduce our short-term borrowings or the working capital loans that we have.
Other than this, Bhavoji, I want to also point out that in calculating 43% volume increase, for taking the actual comparison, we also take in the traditional sales in that area in which Project Lux implemented. So we compare the total sale at that area before Lux project and after that, after implementing the Lux project, the dealer belong to Project Lux. So there may be increase in the volume 43% from the normal normal dealer which are included in this comparison. Otherwise, there is 100% growth in the total sales of the Project Lux from last year to current year.
Okay. One second, I was just asking that revenue has even dropped if we look at from last year, but still there has been growth. So actually this is getting more traction, I would say, because even though the revenue has gone down around from 382 to 342 crores, our the contribution from Project Lakshya distributors has gone up.
Yeah, correct.
Right. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeral from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just to reconfirm, you said that your revenue from Project Lakshya is around 100 crore, right?
Yeah. In last financial year.
What about H1?
In H1, FY23, it is around 98 crore. We already achieved the same amount in within 6 months.
Okay. And so generally, the thermal sales, you know, largely happens in Q2, right?
So it's 50% happens, 50%-55% sales happens in Q2, and the rest happens in Q3. But since last year was a bad winter season for the industry, so there's a huge stock pileup which happened at the distributor level as well. So that's why in Q2, the major shortage that we faced was because of the thermal sales. So last year, Q2, we had somewhere around 12% contribution coming from thermal in Q2, and this year it has been 6% only.
Okay, so we have seen a degrowth in thermal sales this quarter.
This quarter, and that's why the overall profitability also took a bit of a hit, and our inventory days is also on a higher side.
Okay. And sir, as on H1 FY23, what is our working capital days, and how much is the receivable days?
So receivable days have been flattish. It has been somewhere around 99, 100 days only. The only catch point is our inventory days. So if we compare our inventory days with respect to March, like March FY21, sorry, March FY22, it has increased from 109 days to 123 days. But if you compare H1 to H1, like H1 last year versus H1 this fiscal, it has been at a similar level, 122, 123 days.
Okay, so this inventory that we are holding, that is of a high cost inventory, or maybe, or is it a current level price? So that, you know, we can't get-
Yes. So it is a mix of both, high cost inventory plus the thermal stock that we have.
Okay, so even in Q3, we may see a inventory loss?
It's around very minimum 2-3 crores only, as per our calculation.
Okay, okay. And so what was the ad spend during the quarter?
So ad spend for H1, we have spent somewhere around 60 crore, and during the quarter, it was 25 crore vis-a-vis last year, second quarter, 18 crore.
Okay, okay. And so last two questions. So what is our target, you know, for the receivable days for full year FY23, that we want to bring it down?
So on a overall working capital cycle for this particular fiscal should be somewhere around 145 days. That's what we are targeting.
And so what will be the receivable days in that? So last year it was around 99, right? 99 days.
Yeah. So there'll be a reduction. Yeah, we hope that we'll be able to reduce it by 7-8 days further by the end of the fiscal, and another 3-4 days improvement in our inventory days.
Okay. And sir, lastly, what is the category growth, but the category-wise growth in Q2?
Overall, on a half yearly basis, so you want it on a Q2 basis or a half yearly basis? I think half yearly.
Q2, sir. For the Q2, sir, particularly.
So for the Q2, there has been an overall volume degrowth of somewhere around 16-16.5%, and a value growth of 4%.
And sir, across the category, dollar man, women category, athleisure wear.
So in Big Boss, we saw overall degrowth of 21% this quarter. In regular, which is economy range of products, it's somewhere around 15%. Thermals was somewhere around 30%. Missy women segment was 7%, and in premium segment it was somewhere around 27-28%.
And so athleisure wear?
So in athleisure, H1 22 versus H1 23, the overall revenue contribution has increased from 12% to 13%. So athleisure wear, we are seeing good traction. Although so overall the athleisure segment is doing good, and we are coming out with the women's athleisure segment also in the month of February and or March starting.
Okay, so what was the export contribution in H1 overall, and what kind of growth we have seen over there?
So export was 7% during H1. The contribution coming from exports was 7%. Domestic was 90%, and modern trade increased from 3% to 4%. So overall, in absolute terms, export has been flattish as compared to H1 last year. And this year, I think we'll be able to maintain the similar level what we did last year.
So okay, so flattish kind of a growth.
What we are focusing on is on the domestic sales that we have, and the modern trade, the large format stores that we have.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sheel from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
It is sounding muffled.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, now I am audible.
It is not that clear, sir.
Oh, yes, just a minute. Yeah, now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, just I wanted to know brand-wise advertisement spend. And in your advertisement budget has increased. I think in your comments you said now budget is 7.5% of revenue for the whole year. So, I mean, can you just give me the brand-wise advertisement spend for H1?
Sorry, sir, we are unable to understand. Your voice is a bit muffled. I think you were asking something about advertisement expenditure, which has increased this particular fiscal. Is that correct, sir?
As you already answered, what I am asking is about brand-wise advertisement spend.
So majorly, 60% of our advertisement spend happens for the man product, Big Boss Man. Another 15% is for Missy, Dollar Woman. 15% for Thermal, the seasonal product that we have. And the rest is for the in-shop branding and the retail branding that we have, and plus the post-mix, plus the digital media.
Okay, got it. Just one question, follow-up question. I mean, are you going to maintain this ratio, or will it going to be changed for, say, next fiscal year or 2 years down the line?
So, given the target that we have for this particular fiscal, what we are aiming is 5.5-6% kind of a spend on the advertisement this particular fiscal. And going ahead, we will try to maintain 5.5-6% based on the projected sales for the particular fiscal.
Okay, okay. And just one question, if I can squeeze in, how your EDO has progressed so far? Particularly for Delhi EDO, which you opened in June. If you can just give a color on that.
Sorry, progress of what?
EDO. How it has, progress of that EDO, specifically for Delhi EDO.
So, in EDO, we have seen a good traction. In the modern retail vertical that we have, 6% of our revenue is contributed by EBO, 54 by e-commerce sales, and 40% is large format stores. And in EBO, we have opened 8 EBOs, out of which 5 EBOs opened in the month of September and in October. So we are yet to see the results, but overall the traction has been good. The consumer footfall in the store is exciting. Like we are getting 7 to 10 consumers every day in the store, and throughput is also good. Overall, what we are seeing is that apart from the sales factor, also the consumers is getting to know the brand in a much better manner, and they are able to see what all products Dollar Industries deal in. So they are able to touch and feel the product. They are able to see the entire category that we have, whether it be kids, men's, women's, premium segment, post next, or the socks that we have. So the entire segment has been showcased to the consumer, and we are seeing a good excitement at the consumer level as well.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vishal Bagadia from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the CAPEX front. The last time we spoke on our spinning capacity and our warehouse, we were expecting that both of them would commission somewhere in October-November. Mm-hmm. But now when we see the presentation, it has been postponed to March and May 2023. So can you just put throw some light on the same?
Yeah. We already make a good progress. Our warehousing project is already 90% is completed, but due to some there is a requirement from the government side, there is some problem from the electric connection is there, electric distribution. Some part of it is pending on the from the government front only. Our construction is already ready, but without power distribution, we are not able to commence our production. For this reason, we take the maximum time that by March, government is completed that power distribution, electric distribution is properly implemented. So because there is delay due to some official government delay in the distribution of electric. And with regard to our expansion in a spinning project at Dindigul, Tamil Nadu, we are on the way. We already constructed the way shed where to be machine to be installed, but there is some imported machinery is there which only to be shipped in the month of February itself only. So it is installed by end of March or 15th of April only. So we take 1 month extra period for giving the launching time for spinning plant.
So the entire 115 crores has been spent for the CAPEX. That is the right understanding?
Yeah, correct.
So apart from that, what would be the CAPEX guidance for the current year?
Currently, we have no any other than these two only. Other than this, in 24-25, there is only some minimum repair maintenance required duties, which is around 8 to 10 crores only.
Okay. That would be great. And so my second question is on the EBO front. So if you could explain what is the cost metrics or the average size when you open an EBO. So what would be the average store size, the initial investment, and what is the kind of inventory that a franchisee owner needs to put, and what would be the break-even time for an EBO that we estimate? And by FY25, since you are targeting that you'd be opening 125 EBO stores, so how much that would be as a percentage of our top line as a target? Those are my questions.
So our EBO is completely franchisee, FOFO model, franchisee owned and operated. And what we do is we have two particular models which we work upon. One is the complete outright basis, wherein the franchisee purchases the entire stock and he gets a different margin over there. And the other model is the rent plus margin model. So initial investment from the company side is just on the POS system that we have and some branding activities that we do over there. Apart from that, it's all franchisee's investment. The store size is typically somewhere around 750 square feet and can go up to 1000 square feet as well, because the overall category that we have to showcase and the entire product range that we have, we require such space. So the density is somewhere around 6 to 8 per square feet, 6 to 8 pieces per square feet. So that is the kind of density we are working upon. So the overall investment from the franchisee side, including the security deposit and everything, it's somewhere around 22 lakhs.
Okay. And by when do we expect them to break even? And how much, what would the time duration?
It generally takes 3 to 4 months to stabilize a particular EBO. Apart from that, what happened is, like in North, 60% of the sales or 70% of the sales that happens in any EBO is contributed by the winter section only, because the ASP is very high over there. So it really depends on region to region, like zone by zone. So we have yet to discover as to what kind of a sales figure would come in from a particular EBO on a monthly basis. But just to estimate, I think, so I think by FY25 we'll be able to garner somewhere around 40-45 crore kind of a business coming in from EBO itself, from 125 EBOs.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That would be all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Ratnatarya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for taking my question. Just one clarification question. The margin guidance is for the entire year or the second half? That was the first question that I had.
So see, what we say is that prices have been very volatile this particular fiscal, the first half of it. The second half, we think it really seems that the prices have stabilized as of now. But we really aspire to be somewhere around 14% kind of an EBITDA level. 13 to 14% is what we think is achievable in the second half.
So that is for the second half, not the full year. That's what you. That's what I wanted to clarify. That's where you aspire to be in the second half of the year.
So on a full year basis, it would be somewhere around 13%. We really want to be there. Yes.
Understood. My second question is on the number of dealers that got added in this quarter in the Lakshya project. That seems to be around 15 odd dealers. I understand quarter on quarter, obviously, you know, these kinds of things can vary, but is this what you would have aspired to be? And also, as time passes along, does this number tend to increase a lot exponentially, because, you know, word of mouth starts flowing in, so it just becomes easier to get traction? Is that the right expectation? Could you just throw a little bit more light on that?
So what happened is, when you think of starting a particular new state, so there's a lot of the people are not very much convinced about the program when we start rolling out in a particular state which is very new. So we get a lot of So what happened is the people are not convinced when we start a particular state, and it really takes, so the lead time increases in the starting point. But once we have 2 to 3 success stories in that particular area, so the rollout happens in a much faster manner. So we have earmarked Tamil Nadu and Kerala, two new states to get enrolled into this particular project. We are on the verge of completion of Rajasthan and Karnataka, because there were some wholesale market which was yet to be tapped and closed down, and it was a huge chunk. Apart from that, Gujarat, Mumbai and surroundings we have already completed. In Maharashtra, we have also completed the Vidarbh area. Plus, in Gujarat, we are seeing a good traction in Gujarat as well. and we'll be able to complete by the year end, by the end of the fiscal. Apart from that, we have started Northeast, all the 7 states, and Orissa, Bihar, Telangana, Andhra, and Tamil Nadu and Kerala will start off in a month's time, I think.
Other than this, I want to also point out one important thing, that in our project Lakshya, we have an SOP agreement with the distributor, that distributor have to follow our SOP, then they get the required minimum ROE as per our target. So if any distributor is not follow the SOP system, then we have to remove this, because we have to, if we implement the project plus successfully in any area, then should be it is within our standards. So sometime in this quarter, the total addition is 15 only, is because there is addition of 34 dealers. But due to some of the dealers which are not performed well, or which are not serviced to the retailer as per our SOP, that the product should be reached within the 48 hours to the retailer showroom, or the payment is made within 45 days. So some of the dealers we have to remove from the Lux project because they are not performing well and as per our criteria. So therefore, in this period, the total net addition is 15. But actually the addition is 34, but some of the dealers which are not performing are removed from our Lux project. So we have the target of 12 to 15 dealers monthly actually.
Monthly totally. Just one last question. So how many dealers would have joined and left us in Project Lakshya till date, if you can just help us understand that?
Currently we have the total number of 189 active dealer in our Lux project.
But how many would have sort of you know, been tried but left out approximately? What is the number, right? If you have that handy.
Total number of dealer as of date, I don't have the accurate number, but it is around 225 to 230. From till date.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Sameeksha. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to understand a little better on the EBO front. So when you know, the numbers you spoke about 45 crores from 125 stores. So that looks good. Given that our competition has had a much faster rollout of EBOs, you know, Go Fashion adding 100 this year, and Page has done well with it. Why haven't we chosen a strategy to be more aggressive on the EBO front? Is it because it might disturb the relationship with the Lakshya dealers?
So nothing of that sort. So what the thing is that Go Colors operate in a very different segment, as well as Page Industries, Jockey. So they have always been into this particular industry. They have always been into the retail sector, I would say. Not industry, the retail sector, wherein they open EBOs, or they are in modern retail, large format stores. And after that, they started coming to offline market, which is the traditional channel sales. And I think Go Colors is still not there in the traditional sales, right? So they have always been there. Their concept of their brand, the brand DNA was more towards the retail part. And we have always been, like, from past 49-50 years, we have been working in the traditional channel, and the modern retail vertical also opened just 4 to 5 years back. So for us, this particular space, the retail space, is very new as a concept also, because we have never been into that kind of a thing. So we have started hiring professionals for that, and we are working on this. But to get a conviction on any kind of a particular project, you need to have some kind of data, or you need to open some number of stores so that you can gauge whether this will work for us or not. Because If you're comparing it with Page or Go Colors, they are into a premium segment. The target market is very different from what we are. So we are into more into class for mass kind of a brand. So yes, our consumer target market is very different. The demographics is very different, and that is why the overall process is a bit slow. But yes, it will increase, no doubt. By the year end, by the end of this fiscal, we'll be able to open 25 to 30 EBOs, and after that, by FY25, we are very positive that we'll cross 125 EBOs.
Right. I understand, you know, you are the more mass market brand versus them being premium. But we are also seeing a shift, I think, you know, you've mentioned in the annual report, a shift to the outerwear segment more, you know, the Missy and the Sports Mix. So if we have to achieve that shift, then the, you know, like 20-30% growth is what you're targeting in the outerwear, is that right?
Yes, in the outerwear segment, whether it be the women's athleisure or men's athleisure or the leggings that we have, see, the overall ASP is also very high, and we see a huge opportunity down there in the market, and we see a good growth coming out of those segments. Apart from that, we have a natural growth rate in our Big Boss and economy range of products, the regular brands that we have. So overall, ASP of the company has also risen from 65 to 70 rupees in past 6 months. So last year FIB closed at somewhere around 65 rupees, and currently it is at 70. So there has been a price hike in the month of April, but overall, if you see, there has been a change in the overall contribution coming out from the outerwear segment. Like athleisure increased from 12 to 13%. Women
will the advertising focus more on outerwear now, given its higher margins and, you know, like higher ASPs? Will the advertising campaign
on the digital platform? Yes,
like you said, you have done 3 TVCs, so I understand one is for thermal, the other two would they be for outerwear, and those when will they be these 3 TVCs? We've not seen much of airing of them, so when will they?
So what is happening is, one is thermal, the second is Yami Kosam that we had for Minfi. We just signed her up for the women's brand that we have. Apart from that, during the IPL season, we came out with athleisure segment TVC, but mostly it has been done on a digital platform, social media platform. Our overall spend on digital media from our budget is somewhere around 8% now. So 8% of our total expense, we are doing it on digital platform, whether it be Google Ads or Instagram or Facebook, YouTube. We also started taking some media from Money Control, Daily Hunt, or online newspapers. So all those activities that we are doing is helping us grow in our outerwear segment, and also help us grow in our e-commerce sales as well.
All right. So the 60 crore ad spend that you've done, like, you know, how much would be spent towards outerwear versus innerwear, or if you, in future, will target more of outerwear spend versus innerwear?
So in
Ad spend, like earlier participant asked the breakup between brands, so I'll say, you know, I'll put it a different way. Ad spend for outerwear versus ad spend for innerwear, what will be the, you know, ratio? Can we see it go to 50-50 versus right now maybe more, you know? It's more skewed towards innerwear.
Currently, we don't see going it to 50-50. But yes, we have started rationalizing our spend on the men's innerwear vis-a-vis the other outerwear products that we have. So in women's, we are already spending 15% of our budget. And apart from that, we have started spending on post next advertisement as well, which will be mostly outerwear than innerwear. Apart from that, during the IPL, we are focusing mainly on athleisure segment also, because it resonates with the name resonates with the sports person who are actually playing in the IPL, and they wearing our athleisure wear and and advertising for it, it really goes well.
Right. And so next year's ad budget, I know it's a little early, but 6% would seem a little low, you know, if you want to grow the outerwear side of it. Just any thoughts on that, given that some peers are spending up to 8 to 9%? And given that if cotton prices come off, can we see, you know, that money being spent on ad spend?
So in ad spend, what we are seeing is 5.5 to 6% kind of a spend that we are looking forward to on our projected sales. So yes, if we for next financial year, like FY24, it should be somewhere around 100 odd crores. Yes.
Thank you. I'll get back in with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining this call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information or any kind of a query, kindly get in touch with us. Thank you once again for joining in. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Smiths Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.